Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting in on a beautiful Saturday morning. You know, with all the things that are going on, still have to say thank you, God, you know, for allowing us to just be alive, just be on earth today. So I certainly thank him. Could have made a transition and been gone, which, you know, the best thing for us if you're in Christ. And I just want to say this morning, send blessings out to my family. I lost my dear cousin, brother. We were raised as brothers and sisters, and I'm an only child, and he's an only child, and he went home yesterday. So it's interesting, you know, to see him make that transition. You know, you miss him, but it is what God said it is, and God has made a choice. And of course, we thank God. I went to see him last week, and we had the conversation. So he had his conversation, and he was saved, and he said he put his life in God's hands, and whatever God said, that's what he agree with, and he wasn't worried. So that in itself sent a lot of peace to me, and you know, of course, he has children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. So, you know, the little ones, they don't understand to be absent from the body is to be with Christ. You know, it's hard to tell children that when they miss their father or their granddaddy. So just lift them up in prayer, and you know, God's will. It's done. That's it. We agree. Amen. So this morning, I was supposed to be traveling, and Cynthia and Deborah doing the show. I'm just sitting in. I called her this morning and told her that we didn't go. We were going to leave in the morning because we had double duty tomorrow down in Carolina. So I'm just going to sit back and relax and join in to their conversation. I think it's an interesting dialogue in which they are designing to bring back what we talked about last week. We talked about a daughter's cry for help. And so they wanted to extend it. If you didn't hear that conversation last week, I suggest that you go back to our website, go to mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in bonding, N as in network.org, and look for the show for last week and listen to the first part. It was very informative. I mean, it was a lesson that was strictly, I'm telling you, even though I was facilitating the message, it was definitely a lesson taught to me. I think we all got a different curve from it. You never know what the Holy Spirit is going to, how he's going to shape this thing up. So this morning, they're coming back with the daughter's perspective of a daughter's cry from their own personal inventory of testimonies. And so with that, I'm just going to open up the mic. It's going to be an open mic, and hopefully you're going to be blessed just from listening to their testimonies and being able to, you know, see if it gives Lynn some type of witness to you that you might be able to grab something to hold on to and help you get past whatever it is that you're getting over. We all, and I'm sure I'm going to be blessed from it because it's, we always get something from it. Excuse me. Let's go here to the mic. Trying to, good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I am good. Yes.
And again, my condolences goes to you and your family.
Yeah, thank you. Yep, it's, and like you say, it's a door we all got to walk through. You know, it is, it's interesting. You have to deal with it, though. You just have to deal with it. He was a good cousin. He's my brother. So that's it right there. I'm going to get Deborah on since it's an open mic today. And good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
All right. I told the audience, I was planning to be traveling today. And so, you know, we have another cousin that is a police officer. And I don't know, some of you may have heard in Florence, South Carolina, a gentleman started shooting when they went to deliver, to arrest a young man. And this older gentleman went upstairs and started shooting and shot, I think, 5 or 6 police officers. And some of them had gone home, but Kara didn't make it. She passed on, try to get my days mixed up here. I think she passed on Wednesday or Thursday, this past week. I might be off a day, but she's a cousin of ours. And, of course, since my grandson is in law enforcement now and he discovered that was his cousin, you know, I didn't even know she was in. You know, kids grow up so fast, and I didn't know she was in the police department, an officer. And, you know, she didn't make it, and so they're having her funeral on tomorrow. And he wanted to go to that funeral as not only, as he tweeted out, not only a blue blood, but, you know, a blood relative. So we're going to ride down with him tomorrow, and I'm just going to go visit the family, and they can go to the funeral and come back and visit the family. There's no need to go today and tomorrow, so we just kind of backed it up. So that's why I'm on here with you guys today. So I am excited to hear how you all going to put a twist on this, because Cynthia told me that how you all were going to do it. So I'm going to sit back, relax. I'm going to turn the mic over to Cynthia. One of y'all want to do the prayer, and I'm going to be in the audience today.
Sounds good. Deborah, if you would, if you could go ahead and do the prayer, please.
Okay, good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, audience. Good morning, world. Let's go to the Father and ask for strength for our sister, Dr. Bessie, and her family, that they may have the opportunity to mourn in peace and to accept what God has called to happen. We ask that God would also give them the mindset to know that we all got our date and that we should take it as if it was us and we need to be ready to go, you know, get our hearts in order. We all got to go. But my deep condolences to you and your family, Dr. Bessie. I love you. I adore you. And I'm excited that you're here. And it worked out how it was supposed to work out, because you also bring the twist to the twist, you know. So we thank you for having you. And we're going to go to the Father. Dear Father, we thank you this morning for waking us up, giving us our right minds and our able limbs and all our senses. We thank you for blowing the breath in us one more time this morning. We don't want to take it lightly that we're breathing, that we're functioning, that we're in our right mind. We want to make the best of this opportunity today, because this is a gift to have life. We thank you for giving us one more day to get it right, to come closer, to inspire somebody. Lord, we thank you that you will say what you need to say through us, to us, and for us. and that everybody that need to be touched will be touched, not just on the radio, but the world, Lord. Use us because we're willing. Help us as you promised, so we may live, so we may do your work. We don't know when the day and the hour are going to come, so let us do everything as if it's our last day to do it, Lord. We thank you. Touch now, move now, open the hearts, let them be receptive, soften the soul so we can deposit the seed or water the seed that's already been deposited. Lord, we thank you. We ask right now that you would move in a way that you never moved before, that you would do those things that you promised. You say your word will go out and not return unto you void. It would accomplish the thing that you said it to accomplish. So, Lord, we ask that the words that we say today, that will go out and accomplish the thing that you said it will accomplish. And we'll be forever mindful, Lord, to give you praise and glory for all the results, for everything that you do through us. We say it's because of you. We love you, we adore you. Touch us right now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you for those words.
Thank you.
Deborah.
What an awesome prayer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was just telling them to thank you for the words of condolences. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay,
you
okay, thank you. Audience, I'm going to set this up by reading something to you, and Deborah made reference to it, so God is able and he knows the conversation before we even have the conversation, except what God has accepted to happen. And so I'm going to read something to you, audience, and then the conversation will start. There are 2 days in every week about which we should not worry, 2 days that should be kept free from any fear and apprehensions. One of these days is yesterday, with its mistakes and cares, its aches and pains, its faults, its blunders. Yesterday has passed forever beyond our control, and tomorrow's sun will either in splendor or behind mass clouds show up. But it will rise. And so we have those 2 days that we should never be concerned about. But as human beings, we have things when it comes to yesterday, its motives, purpose, and reality with the purpose. And from your reality, it's based on your perspective that you will be able to journey this life without resentment of whatever God has allowed in our lives. And so we were talking last week about a daughter's cry for help. I myself, and remember, audience, what this show is all about. It's about mothers and daughters. I myself didn't have my mother available to me. I myself wasn't able to go to my mother to share the things that happened to me. Deborah, on the other hand, had access to her mother. And so she's going to tell her perspective about her fears and anxieties and apprehensions of telling her mother what was going on with her when she was right there. And so as I was thinking about this morning, I woke up early in order to do my research. My research brought me to remembrance a video that Maya Angelou has called I Am Human. And because I am human, nothing foreign can happen to me. And so I thought about this, and I'm going to start off by just sharing the things that we've been hearing on the television as the Me Too movement, when women started to come forward and telling their stories about sexual abuse, in whether it was a relationship, whether it was molestation as a child, or rape as an adult. I've had both of these things happened to me, and I've had an attempt molestation on me by an uncle when I was 17, and I remember telling my grandmother, and she didn't believe me.
So perhaps one of the reasons we don't tell our mother is because we fear that we won't be believed. And so I'm going to open it to ask Deborah to share her perspective and her story. Deborah,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
If you can go ahead and share your perspective on why you didn't tell your mother when she was right there, and bring the audience up to date as to give them as much as you want them to know about your story, and then talk about your perspective with having your mother there and not being able to tell your mother.
Okay. Good morning, audience. The thing I noticed looking back and pondering and trying to figure out, you know, at probably the age of 9, why I didn't say anything. Basically, it was more like being a child and loving sweets and candy. And so candy was the instrument that the perpetrator used to have his way with me or to keep a secret. You know, I'll give you this if you don't say nothing. And at the age of 9, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I know that I love candy. I love sweets and honey buns. And so because I had an appetite for the thing they was offering, I complied to the command to be silent, knowing that it was wrong because they would never do it around anybody else. Always in the night when the lights are out and nobody's looking. So I know that it was wrong and they had to know too. And so as I was looking back trying to figure out that young and what was it that kept me from telling? And I summed it up with that. And as I got older, it was now a way of being. Well, my mom and I never sat down and had a dialogue or communication about even having a menstruation or about boys because I left at a very early age. And so I never had that conversation, even when I was there. I remember one time where she caught me outside and she called me in and she seen a little boy out there and she called me in and she says, you know, strip down. She wanted to check my undergarments to see if there was some evidence or maybe some sexual activity. And she said, if you make one, you won't bring it in here. You're going to take care of it. That's the only thing that we ever talked about anything close to anything related to. That was the only incident that I can remember ever being said. So there was no communication. There was no communication, and maybe because she was brought up with my grandma, you know, and my grandma in the early 1900s, you know, being born, and back then, you know, and I think what happened was it was the upbringing. It was certain things that wasn't discussed, and it just carried over in her adult life and then her having kids because as I remember having a conversation with my siblings, they didn't have a conversation with mom either. Wasn't a whole lot of conversation. Mom worked two jobs at times to provide for us. So when she came in, she was cooking off to the bed or off to the relax or off to, you know, the next job. And so there was no time for communication and there was no communication with the little bit of time. So I believe that what happened with me was after it started happening, it's just a way of life now, being sneaky, you know it's wrong. And, you know, and I had quite a few people, you know, auntie, uncle, the boss, the boyfriend, at least 4 different people at one time having their way with me, giving me stuff. They was giving me money or they was giving me candy. You know? And so, because I look back and I said, you know, why didn't I tell by then? It's okay, because we didn't have that luxury of eating a lot of candy. That was a no-no. You got candy, it was a treat. You know, she wasn't taking you to the dentist. And the strangest thing, she said, we went to the dentist. She said, you got four cavities at 12. You got more cavities than all the kids together. Where are you getting all this candy from? Where are you getting all this candy from?
That was your opportunity to tell.
The people that was touching me was giving me candy. And so getting older now, moving forward, and being away for many years, for the audience that don't know that, I left home at 13 and ended up in prison at 17 and ended up being in prison almost 16 years straight and got out and, you know, was loving the Lord and living in the house with my mom. And then we were practically strangers because my hours and her hours was different, and then I would be at the church house. And so even then, it was awkward because how do you have a conversation? I'm grown now. How do you have a conversation now? I'm back after all that I've been through. I done circled back now from 13 to 33 now. 20 years have passed, and now I'm back in the house again with my mom, but we don't know how to communicate. You know, and so learning how to communicate for me is being a good listener. And I'm just really practicing it now because I'm in school and they're teaching me so much about how you listen. And so I want to say to the audience that if you don't have a listening spirit, you're going to miss a whole lot of things that the daughter want to tell you because she might be crying out. So it would benefit to learn how to be an effective listener because she might be telling you something without telling you straight up, you know. And so I, since last week when we had the conversation, I practiced this week so hard listening to everybody that was talking to me. And I noticed that I was doing it because I was saying, pay attention. They talking. They trying to tell you something. Maybe they ain't spelling it right out, ABC, but they trying to tell you something. Pay attention. And so mom was talking. We was talking, and mom was telling me, you know, how she got saved and how she came to know the Lord. And she said, I don't know if I ever told you this before, but I'm paying attention now because she's talking. And I'm learning a whole lot of stuff that I didn't know. You know, that's a long time to be away. I'm learning a whole lot of stuff, and I'm just listening. I'm saying, okay. So her mom didn't teach her that. So she can't give it to me. So I believe that even though sometimes we don't get something where we think we should get it or we don't get it like other people, it's still not too late to learn how to get it. How do you be a mother moving forward? How do you make it happen from this point forward? How do you utilize the years that God's going to give you forward? So for me, I just say, Lord, teach me how to be a child, adult child, because I missed that leaving at 13. I was grown in the world. On my own, in the world. And so now I got to learn, how do you be an adult daughter? How do you know what to say, when to be sensitive, when to, you know, say what, you know, how do you, I'm learning all of that. And so I learned that listening, for me, is going to be key because mom is talking now. And when she's, mom is talking now. And I'm listening because I left because I didn't want to listen. I didn't want to do it her way. She said, my way or the highway. And I literally walked out the door with the clothes on my back at 13. I said, I guess it's the highway. And I learned some stuff. The stuff that I learned growing up, you give me candy, I give you this. I took it right on in the world. And I made it work for me, knowing it was wrong. But that's what I had been accustomed to. You give me this, I give you that. You give me this, I let you touch this. You give me this, I let you see this. Well, I promise it to you. You know, and so now I'm saying, no, that's not, no, I'm a godly woman. No, I don't do that. No, I'm not going to have that conversation. No, I don't, you know, there's areas that I need to improve in. But for the most part, my relationship with my mom is my key focus right now because I want to be able to have that moving forward because I don't know how much more time she got or how much time I got. She's 75, but who's to say? I might outlive her. She might outlive me. But I want to make this point and forward, moving forward today. What can I do today? Mom, I love you. We had Bible study again. We had our second week, and Bible study is going good. Book of John. Thank you, Dr. Bessie. I tell you, God is so awesome. So I just want to say to the audience that sometimes we just need to listen. And we listen to everybody else that call on the phone. We listen to our friend girl when they always got a problem, the same drama every week, every other week. You say the same thing, but you keep listening. You ever have a friend that always got the same stuff every time you talk about it? You keep saying the same thing. Now you're tired of listening. But take that same energy and listen to the kids because they're saying stuff. Especially at that teenager age, that age right up in there, they start the puberty thing and start the pimples and what's this and what's that and sex class. And they got some questions. If you don't answer somebody on the block will.
Wow.
Somebody going to put something in their ear. It's best that we learn what to say to them, and at least it won't be so far when they hear it again, but at least they'll hear the wrong version from the home. What happens when you have unprotected sex? When you bring in things you sometimes you can't get rid of? What happens when you have babies? You might raise a baby by yourself. You might forfeit your career. They might put a little stigma on you in school. Well, she got pregnant at 12. She got pregnant. A whole lot can happen. And what is sex? What's unwelcoming sex? What is sex harassment? What is molestation? Do anybody touch you any kind of way at school? I believe we need to have those conversations in our secret quarters, and make the child feel like if something happens that you will believe them over the man that you sleep with because you love so much. I've seen a lot of cases where people don't want to say nothing because they see how much mama loved that man, how much she spent more time with him, so she ain't going to believe me. They might think it because it looked that way. Maybe it's not that way, maybe, but they got to feel some type of way that, where they could release information. They could talk about it. They could say that he was inappropriately touching her when mama went to work, how he comes in the room and don't knock. He goes in the bathroom. Oh, sorry, I didn't know you was in here. Little things like that. Talk to your mom about it, Mothers, be open-minded. Do your investigation. Do some sniffing around. Go to work one day and drop back to the house unnoticed. You gotta find out what's going on because if you don't, people carry this for years and years and years and kind of disqualify them to have an honest relationship later on down the line because they got so much baggage. I could go on and on about it, but like I say, I didn't tell. I believe because the little gifts and the little treats was keeping me quiet. It wasn't painful what he was doing to me. It was more touching and falling. It wasn't no penetration. So I didn't have that experience. I never had that experience. But I had a lot of fondling. I had a lot of rubbing and touching and stuff. A quick one here and a quick one there. Nothing long and I draw, but it happened. And I look back and I said, oh, maybe it was the treats and the money that was keeping me quiet. So that's my take on, what happened and how I try to deal with talking now and being older and some things, coming out and I'm like, oh, I'm learning. I'm in this zone where I'm just learning a whole lot and I'm trying to process this information. And keep Jesus in the center and keep the devil out,
Amen. And one of the things you said to me, one of you said that perked my ears up was that the perpetrator knows what you like. And I never really put two and two together. My uncle had never tried me until he took me shopping and bought me school clothes. He had been in the house with us for a minute. And this particular summer, just before school started back, he said, I want to take you shopping and buy you some school clothes. My older sister had left home by then, and I was the only one there with my grandmother. No, it was myself, my cousin. We were still there. And this was my senior year, and he took me shopping. And shortly after that, that's when he tried me. A couple of days after that is when he attempted to make his move on me. That's interesting, because they know what you like. He knew I lived with my grandparents, and they didn't have money to buy me clothes. And he took advantage of a situation. And that's what perpetrators do, audience. But, Deborah, you said something also that was important about learning when to do it, when to talk. And I'm going to read something to the audience. Pick the time. Discretion is the better part of wisdom and of valor. The word valor in this sense means great courage in the face of danger. There are times when it is inappropriate to share. And obviously, if there's inappropriate times, there's appropriate times. You said something about your mother when she asked you, where are you getting so much candy? That was your opportunity to tell. But you chose not to for whatever reason. So the text goes on to say, to know when to act is a whole education wrapped up in one word, discretion. We as women, as girls, as daughters, to know that it's okay. And we have to know when questions comes about that that's our opportunity to share with our mothers or whoever our mother figure is. Ecclesiastes says this, 3:1-7, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. So there is nothing foreign. There is nothing new under the sun. That's in scripture. He tells us there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. So I think that in all of this, God gives us the opportunity to speak when it's time. But what is your motive for speaking? Doing it in order to are you speaking your truth? Because it is your truth and your truth is valid. But why are you speaking your truth now? Because we as daughters, been there, done that. Sometimes our motives for bringing up things of the past is not for the edification of God, but we do it for other reasons. So why are you telling now that Me Too scenario that's going on with the women coming forth? Are we doing it for our own edification to bring attention to ourselves? Or are we doing it because we feel that God is leading us to speak up now? Because lives are being destroyed. You got to think about those perpetrators. They have been married, have children, and now they are facing being separated from their families as a result of you coming forth. They're going to jail. They're losing their career. Why are you telling now? See, it's all about motives. And what is the purpose of you doing it? Is it to get a book deal? Is it to free yourself? Is it to help somebody else? Is this going to be part of the call on your life? You got to know why you're moving forward in so many years later. If it's not from a pure place, there's going to be some consequences, not only for you and the perpetrator, but this is a domino effect. And I just want the audience to think about that. Yeah, you have to face it. You have to deal with the negative emotions because negative emotions don't go away, they fester. And if you don't deal with it, that you can be healthy, then you won't raise healthy children because you're going to pass on the silence. There's a saying that we are only as sick as our secrets, therefore it is our secrets that keep us sick. So who are you telling? Why are you telling? I never told anybody what happened to me until I was in my late 30s. And I told because I was insisted upon. I was working on my master's degree, and my professor kept telling me that I was angry, and I kept denying it. I kept denying it. And I told her she didn't know what she was talking about. She said to me, you either go to counseling or you won't graduate, because I will not allow you to work with hurting people when you're hurting yourself. And that's when I went to my therapist and I unloaded. I told a complete stranger things that happened to me from the time, I don't know how far I went back. But what I'm trying to say, audience, is I told for the purpose of to put anybody else out there as the bad guy. And I said that I wasn't angry. But you know who I was angry with? I was angry over the fact that my mother wasn't there. But mostly I was angry over the fact that my father wasn't there. And because he wasn't there, these things happened to me. He was supposed to be there to protect me from people like my uncle and all the other perpetrators that happened to me. Deborah said four or five. About four or five people, it happened to me too. As I was young, as early as seven, it started. 10 years of my life, I was touched inappropriately. And so the anger came out of the fact I wasn't angry at the perpetrator, because he's human and he made mistakes and he did whatever he did. He allowed the enemy to use it. I was angry at my father for not being there to protect me, that I couldn't go to my mother. And I remember in classes where we would be in process group and working on my master's, and girls would be, the other women, not girls, because we're women at this point, talking about how their mother was their best friend and they can tell their mother anything. I never had that opportunity because my mother simply wasn't there to tell. So out of all the things that came out of my studies this morning, I thought about this letter that Paul wrote. He wrote it from prison. And it said he did not write this letter to correct a heresy or to solve a problem. He did not have to defend his authority to write. He is encouraging believers by helping them understand the nature of the church. And when I say the nature of the church, I'm talking about the human nature of people and how they allow the enemy to use them. Paul wrote this letter from prison in Rome. There he was chained to a guard for preaching the gospel, surrounded by darkness and confinement and a loss of personal liberty. When these things happen to us as daughters, we lose a personal liberty that God has given us, the liberty to be free from disappointment, anger, fear. So it also says, and this is in Ephesians 1. Deborah said it so poignantly this morning about accept what God has accepted to happen. In Ephesians 11, for he chose us for the beginning. It's chapter 1, verse 11. For he chose us from the beginning, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. Why God allowed such things to happen to us, I don't know. All I know is our story is his glory. So when we as daughters are bringing these things forward, you got to know your motives behind why you're bringing it forward. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that's guiding you. Tell your story for God's glory. But what's your purpose behind it?
because all of a sudden it was like a domino effect for all these people in higher authorities, and they started to fall from their profession. They're going to jail. Their families have been being affected. And I know people say that's good for them. Really? What's good for you? What have you done? Who have you hurt? It may not have been molestation. Maybe you hurt somebody by calling them an ugly name, and it scarred them for life, just like molestation scars for life. Words scar people for life. This will scar a family for life because they lost their father. They lost their mother because of your testimony. Or is it a testimony? Or is it, I'll show you? Because if it's a testimony, you will be healed and God will get the glory. Because he said we overcome by our testimony. So you got to know the purpose for which you're coming forth. You got to know your motives. Is it reality with a purpose? If it is, you'll walk away with a new perspective. If not, you'll continue to talk about it as though you've done something big by bringing the person down. Think about it, audience. Dr. Fletcher, I'm going to bring you in right there.
Wow. It is good to be a listener. I'm usually the one that's doing the commentary, and so I'm talking, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. I'm getting bits and pieces, but I really enjoy just being the listener this morning. And I know, audience, that you are, if you were where I was listening, it was very impactful. I still hear from your story, Cynthia, and Deborah's story, the hidden silence behind the words that you're speaking. I could feel the emotions, and there's still a lot that needs to be cleaned out from your soul. It's still there. It's pieces lingering behind what you all said this morning. And mothers, when we are talking about a daughter's cry for help, and like I said, go back and listen to the show last week so you can add it to this week and then bring a full perspective. It's what you're not, what the daughter's not saying, that as a mother being a nurturer and paying attention to your baby, the baby can't talk when she's born. So she's communicating still what I call with the Holy Ghost language. She's still talking her heavenly language. And so therefore, you don't understand what she's saying, but there's an innate spirit, a listening ear that God has built into the mother that you understand she's saying, I'm hungry. She's saying, I'm wet. She's saying, I'm hurting. You know, you get that as a mother when that baby cannot actually verbally speak in a earthly language. So at what time do you lose that? You have to always keep that ear, that spiritual ear for your children to hear what they're saying beyond the words. So I just thank you guys for sharing. It's not easy to get on the radio this morning and share your story. A lot of times we don't share the testimonies because we are ashamed. And that's the one thing that the devil used. He will use the shame game on you. You don't want to say that because, you know, people are going to talk about you and you're going to be shamed. And when you're shamed, you know, you want to hide, you duck and dodge, and you're not living a full life because you're living a lie. You're living in shame and hiding and hoping that nobody finds out about something. That's not living. And until you just release that thing and let it go,
then you beat the devil at his own game through the word of God. Is that, no, I'm not going to live like that, because God said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I gave you the spirit of a sound mind, which brings about peace. So we're going into next year on a campaign that's going to be announced. We have two upcoming television shows, one in Augusta, Georgia, and one in Atlanta, Georgia, that I'm going to reveal this campaign that we're going to do for next year. And it's all of these topics, what we're doing now, is leading up to that campaign. But I don't want to keep holding on, because we have someone that has clicked one, Cynthia. You have a guest that wants to speak, and I want to bring on whoever this is. Hold 1 second. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, Dr. Fletcher. This is Thea. Hi, Miss Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good, honey. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. I heard both of you all's messages, and it really blessed me. And coming from my perspective, I would like to share to let you all know how I felt about it. Mine was came from my brother, but it didn't come out. It didn't get revealed until I got older, because I'm the same way. I'm 33. I'm the same way. Now I deal with a lot of anger issues, but half of my issues came from my mother, because my mother, my biological mother, have never been there. So it's like when you say, I understand you, and I was listening, you say a daughter's cry for help. Yes, I would say I'm still crying for help, because I wanted a better understanding of my story got shared, because I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be free. The same way, yes, I went to Dr. Fletcher for counseling and all this, but it broke my heart, because I'm like, how can a parent carry a child for 9 months and not be there for that child? And I have a brother as well, and my story, it hurts me by me being her only girl, and how for parents to do more for one child than another. So when mine came out, I got looked at as if I was mentally ill, or that I got mental. So my brother did get locked up, but when he got out, they laid him off because they tried to say I was mental. But my godmother, being a minister, she saw that in the spirit, what was going on, and that's why she tried to keep me out of the house when my mother wasn't there. So everybody's holding that against me now, because they're trying to blame that it's my fault or something that they did. So how do you, a child, or how do an adult supposed to get past that when it's not their fault? But I speak up now because I just wanted to get healed from that and go on with my life and just say, let them be and just be me and do what God has called me to do, because I don't want to be the person that I am now.
Okay. Can I share something?
Sure.
Oh, okay. You said you want your life to, you want to be healed so you can move on. But let me just say to you, as long as you're angry, you will never be able to move on. You have to find forgiveness for your brother and your relatives. Despite the fact you don't have to, okay. One of the things I want you to understand is that you, just because you forgive people don't mean that you're letting them off the hook. It happened,
right.
It happened. But the forgiveness part is that, okay, it happened. Now what? I can't continue you don't have to make people who've hurt you your best friend. But if you're going to be able to move forward in peace, you have to find that inner forgiveness. You have to ask God to help you. You have to keep saying it until it's in the heart. When it first come out of your mouth, it's just words. How do you know, have you forgiven people? If you are able to be in their presence or hear their name without getting angry, then you have forgiven them. If you walk into their presence and you're still angry, or you still feel that emotion comes up within you, then you know you have not forgiven them. People say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, baby, you haven't forgiven. Paul tells us to put behind those things that's behind us. And if you can't put it behind you, then you have not forgiven them. And you are holding on to what happened and the fact that your people are saying somehow that you are responsible. You know you're not responsible, so you don't have to take on what somebody is saying to you. If you want to move forward, sis, if you don't ask God to help you forgive these people for their words and the action of your brother, you will never be free. take it from somebody who knows. I could never be free of anger for my parents. I didn't fully forgive them. So that's how you move forward. That's how you are not angry anymore. You choose to deal with those negative emotions attached to those events, because negative emotions don't go away, they fester. And as long as you stay angry, you will never be free and you will never be healed. That's the thing you have to work on every day, and you have to tell yourself every day, every time you have a bad thought about what happened and about what they're saying, you say, I forgive them. And it, until it touches, until it gets to the heart, it's just words out of your mouth.
Okay.
Do that make sense, sis?
Yes, ma'am.
And it's not easy to forgive people. But you, God says if we forgive our sins against us, then he can forgive us our sins. Because who have you hurt? Who haven't you believed? You got to understand. I encourage you to watch this three-minute video from Maya Angelou. I am human. As humans, we allow the enemy to use us. Okay? Go to YouTube and look at that video. It'll help you tremendously if you're ready. It won't help you if you're not ready to forgive, because it'll just be a video. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Anybody else want to chime in on that, Deborah? Dr. Fletcher? Deborah?
I'm here. I think you said it all. I could just share my experience with me willing to go the extra mile to forgive my auntie, which was one that molested me regular, more than anybody, by a woman. Yes, I was molested by a woman and some men, but by the woman. And so for the last 2 years, I've been going down to Clearwater to see her. She's been in a some type of medical facility, having some issues with her leg. And so I've been going down there, and every time I go to town, of course, I got a visitor. I tell myself, you know, I am going to, you know, see her, and every time I see her or it's time to hug or whatever, it comes up, the smell of the hair and all of that, it comes up. But I keep pressing on, I keep going, because I'm so determined not to be in bondage by this thing that had took a hold of me many, many years ago. And I tell myself that she obviously has some issues mentally, because people in their right mind are saying, don't do those type of things. And so because I know I got some stuff with me that ain't quite right, it helps me forgive her, because I understand that maybe she picked it up somewhere along the way. Maybe it was done to her. I don't know, but she has some mental issues. She's, you know, not retarded, but she has some issues. You know, she knows what she did. But I go and I keep going, I keep going, I keep going. When I go to town, even though she tries to have sense on me and like she's using me and, you know, keep going. And, you know, she asks for this and I say, listen, you got $25 here. You can do what you want to do with it. You know, if you want to eat it up, fine. You know, I put boundaries, because I don't have to go. But I'm going because I'm checking on them, because there's nobody there to check on them in the cities. They there, but they ain't checking, you know, and because I want to be free. I want to be free totally. I want to be free totally, because I don't have to go and I don't have to spend my money. I don't have to catch a plane. I don't have to pay people to take me there. But because I'm trying to be free, I have to go that extra mile, even when sometimes the thought of the hug makes me, you know. But like I just say, you know, when it's fully gone, when you stop feeling like that. And I feel the change since I've been going. Not the first time, it's about the eighth time, almost six visits now, and I feel the change each time gets better, and the enemy loses some of his territory, his grip on, on the situation, you know. So me going the extra mile and doing it, I feel the change. God is moving because God knows my heart. I really want to forgive her 100%. I'll probably never forget all of that. It was too much to forget, but I don't hold it against her. And I say she know not what she do in her mind. I mean, I believe she know what she do, but like people that's not saved, they don't know what they do. So I forgive her, and you know, it's a process. It takes work. But it's rewarding, you know. It's rewarding, and the other people I forgave, and I don't have to see them, but I forgave them, and I had to hear their name or whatever. It's just not. It's like, you know, yeah, the thought comes, but I don't have that fester, that animosity in my heart. So I'm just working on this big issue here, the one that was regular, that was every other weekend, that was every time we laid in the bed. That thing, that would hurt, you know. And so, I notice each time it gets better and it gets easier, and I'm thanking God that he's continuing to let me, you know, be a part of my healing process. So I just want to say that it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, and you got to be willing, you know, to go. And every time it come out, like Sister said, I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. No, not what she do. No, not what she do. I forgive her. I forgive her. I love her. That's my auntie. I love her. I'm gonna go check on her. I love her. I love her. You know, and God got everything else under control. Just I'm willing, and I go the extra mile to try to be a part of my recovery. Thanks for listening.
Amen. Amen. And that is pertinent, young lady, because it's easy to judge people when you don't know the story. You don't know if it happened to your brother, and that's why he did it to you. And you may never know his story. And that's not the important thing here. So I don't want you to try to get a story that you don't want. But I'm telling you, it's easy to judge people when you don't know the story. Hurting people hurt people. And people don't like when you bring up things that, especially adults, when they should have known, or they should have, or oftentimes we have this guilt complex. And so they blame you because they don't want the blame on themselves, because they were the adults in this situation, and you feel that they should have known. Do that make sense, young man?
Yes.
It's going to take work. It's not going to happen overnight, like Deborah said. You're going to have to.
But when she knew.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When she knew about it. She didn't want to, but my mom didn't want to believe me. And this happened when I was growing up.
Why do you think that
she
didn't want to believe you?
Because she never wanted to believe me. They labeled me, because I went through so much growing up in life. They labeled me. They tried to label me as a mentally ill person. So everything that happened, she always tell people, oh, she don't know what she's talking about. Something's wrong with her. She's just mentally ill. I mean, they labeled me and tried to have me on medicines and stuff. So me growing up, and after I got older and growing up, it had me thinking like, oh, I am crazy, because my mom and them tried to label me as being crazy. So me growing up and then trying to, when I got away from them, to get my life back stable, and God sent people in my life to help me get over that. Because to this day now, they don't talk to me, and they still don't believe me. And my brother don't even talk to me at all.
Because it takes the guilt off of them. It's not about you. See, you make this about you. This ain't about you, the denial of something happened to you. This is about that this didn't happen because I was responsible. See, this whole thing with your mom, it's not about you. It's about her trying to protect her heart. She don't want to feel guilty about what she allowed to happen to you. It may not make sense right now, young man, but I'm going to give you some scriptures, and I want you to read these scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Matthew 6, I want you to read that.
Okay.
I want you to read Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through chapter Ephesians 1. Verses 1 through 14. Matter of fact, I want you to read the entire Ephesians chapter 1. And as you read it, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Chapter 2, 11 through 21, talk about reconciliation, meaning being able to find the peace you need to be able to accept these people for who they are. If they are not seeking wisdom and knowledge, then they're stuck in ignorance. And it's their way of not feeling guilty about what happened to you. If they can put it on you, then it's not on them. Don't make it about you. Make it about what it was. The enemy used your brother. And people don't, it's something so deep ingrained in us that we don't want to admit to what happened because then somehow that makes us wrong. And I'd rather you be wrong than me be wrong because then I have to live with the guilt of being wrong.
All right, ladies.
So if you want to be healed, you have to find forgiveness.
Thank you.
And I'm going to leave it with that. You're welcome.
All right, I hate to cut across, but our time is up. We've gone over, and I don't want it to run out. Wow, this is deep. I just say I thank God, and thank you, Tia, for chiming in and getting from someone who can actually, who have walked in your shoes. And, you know, we'll continue to help you in any way, shape, and form. You got two people here and myself. And, of course, you got a mother that's in your life now that is helping you. So you got, God has surrounded you with people and people that I don't even know. So you can call on us at any time, okay? I thank you, audience, for listening. Thank you, Deborah and Cynthia. It has absolutely been an awesome show. I want you guys to hold on just a second. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, audience, that's our show. It was absolutely impactful. I mean, I think you should be able to walk away, tell someone to come back and listen to it. Go to our website at mdbn.org. Listen to last week and this week. If this doesn't heal your soul, I don't know what will, especially if you have a hidden secret. Ladies, thank you. You want to say goodbye to the audience? We thank you, audience, for listening.
Hi, audience. Thank you for allowing us to share.
Cynthia, you and Deborah did a great job. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
You're
thank
so
you,
welcome.
Thank you, Atia, for sharing. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you, ladies. Love you.